your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 55th Psalm, Psalm 55, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 625. We'll read the first 8 verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Psalm 55, verses 1 through 8, page 625 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Then may we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me, and hear me. I mourn in my complaint, and make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for today. Thank you for this good church and for the things that we've experienced over the course of many years. Many of us here, lifetime members of numbers of years, and we know what's gone on in this place and how it's stood as a citadel of truth and action on the part of the gospel. Now we pray that you'd bless today. We're grateful for what's happened, but we trust that today will be a good day, a wonderful day. Meet with us in thy Spirit's power and bless our preacher as he comes. Thou wouldst anoint him with thy blessing and help us each, we pray, to get from the service that which would be thy will for us to get. In Christ's name, amen.
If you want a preachy kind of a sermon, you come back tonight. If you want help, you listen this morning. I'm not going to bring a preachy kind of a sermon this morning. I will tonight. But this morning, I offer you something that will help you tremendously. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the security of stability. The security of stability. Our Heavenly Father, do thou teach our people a truth this morning that will help them. And may I have a clear mind and a warm heart and a spirit-filled life as I share with them this morning what thou hast given me for them. In Jesus' name, amen. For some time, I have prayed a little prayer every morning. Now, I'm not much for written prayers. I don't guess I have ever before written out a prayer and prayed that same prayer. In fact, the prayer was a little too long for me to memorize all in one day. So for several days, I read it to God. He said that was all right. But I've never done this, I guess never in my life before. And quite frank with you, anytime I hear if somebody gives, you know, like the inauguration of the president, somebody said, now, Reverend Rabbi Father so-and-so is going to come and present the, what do they call it, invocation. And a fellow gets up and gets a piece of paper out and says, Thou the great God. That always bothers me a little bit. Except I've done it now, so it's all right. And all of a sudden I changed my head about it. But I've been saying this prayer for some months now when I first get up every morning. And this is the prayer. Lord, I thank Thee that there is a place I am supposed to be and a time I am supposed to be there and a job I am supposed to do and someone I am supposed to help and a cause in which I am lost, standards by which I live, and a truth for which I would die. Amen. That amen does not mean the sermon is over. It means the prayer is over. We had a fellow in college who prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed on chapel one time and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. One of the students hollered out, and oh, it's terrible, and said, look at me now. Everybody watch me now. I want you to hear me. And finally, one of the students hollered out and said, Doctor, put another nickel in. Your time is up. And that made the prayer sort of mad. So he kept on praying and kept on praying and kept on praying. And finally, somebody, he said something worthwhile, and somebody said, Amen. And the guy that was praying stopped and looked up and said, thank you, fella. I've been trying to think of that word for 15 minutes. And let me give it to you again. Lord, I thank Thee that there is a place I'm supposed to be, a time I'm supposed to be there, a job I'm supposed to do, someone I'm supposed to help, a cause in which I'm lost, standards by which I live, and truth for which I would die. I've been using that little prayer as a morning prayer, and that doesn't sound like me, does it? Right after I say, Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now at the time of our death. But I've been using that, and it didn't think a great deal about it. Except to me, it's a wonderful prayer. And it's a wonderful way to live. I was speaking a few days ago at the Bill Rice Ranch. Now, at the annual Founders Week, that's the 28th consecutive year that I've spoken at the Bill Rice Ranch. Started when I was 4 years old speaking. And I spoke there, and now my normal schedule, I'm going a couple of days with home, is I speak the first night, and then I speak the next morning. Like if it's a Monday, I speak Monday night, and then Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday night. Usually we'll have a luncheon with full-time Christian workers where we'll have a question-and-answer session time. But that's my schedule. But when I found out the ranch, I looked at my schedule, and my secretary gave me, and it said you're speaking the first night and the second night, but you're not speaking. She didn't say that, but I wasn't speaking in the next morning. And boy, I thought, now this is what I've been looking for. For all these months lately, I've been wanting a morning to sleep in. And boy, I thought, praise God. There was a service at 11:15. But somebody else was speaking. And I then could sleep as late as I wanted to, as long as I get to that service by 11:15, so they'd think I was spiritual enough to go to church when I wasn't speaking. So, boy, first time in years, I didn't set an alarm. Now, I carry with me 3 alarms on the road. Now, usually trucks going by wake me up. But anyway, I carry 3 alarms in my motel room. I have a watch that alarms, and then I have a little battery operated clock that alarms. One is it a beep 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 kind, and then I have, in case the battery in my watch goes out the same night the battery on the little beep 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 goes out, I've got a wind up clock, and I have that. Then usually there's some kind of alarm in the room. So, it really, my mornings are very alarming. But this particular morning, I didn't have to set the alarm. And I do not recall the last night. It must have been 8 or 9 years ago since I went to bed at night without setting an alarm. Boy, I said, this is it. Glory be to God. Except at 5:45 I woke up. And I said, now I've got to sleep. This is my chance. And I shut my eyes real tight. And then I counted 64,217 sheep. And I said, I'm staying in bed till late. I'm talking about 9 or 10. I'm talking about way up there. I'm staying. If it kills me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get some rest. Relaxation. So, I did. And I tossed, tumbled. I looked over the alarm clock and I said, go off. But it wouldn't. I hadn't said it. Got up finally and gave up the idea and went over to the service at the ranch. Would you believe it? I get so tired of signing Bibles, I don't know what to do. I sign Bibles by the tens of thousands a month. Boy, I walked over and I saw some folks up, but I wasn't speaking. And I said, oh boy, here they are. A bunch of folks want me to sign their Bibles. I walked up, walked by. Not one person asked me to sign a Bible. I thought, what's wrong? It was a miserable morning. And I thought about my prayer. Dear God, I thank Thee. There's a place I'm supposed to be. And a time I'm supposed to be there. A job I'm supposed to do. Someone I'm supposed to help. A cause in which I'm lost. Standards by which I live and truth which I would die. And I thought that little prayer probably is the key to life. And I wondered how many people, boys and girls on the front, look at me now. I wondered how many people were living that morning like I was living. Miserable. Miserable. All the things I had not wanted to do, I missed. And the thing I'd wanted to do, I wasn't enjoying it. And I suppose all of us on occasion would like to say with the psalmist, and I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. I guess all of us at times, sometimes, we'd like to flee our duty, our responsibility. The load we carry, the responsibility that we have, the things we have to do, the busy schedule that seems to pressed down upon us, and I guess all of us. Jeremiah said one time, I wish you could just go to some little motel or travel lodge in the woods somewhere in the mountains and not know anybody and just stay there. I wish you could. And David said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove so I could fly away from responsibility and fly away from the burden I carry and fly away from the load I have and fly away from the busy schedule. I'd just like to get away from it sometime. I guess all of us do it. Jonah did. He wasn't happy. Jeremiah did, and he wasn't happy. David did, and he wasn't happy. John Mark did, and he wasn't happy. Fly away from duty, fly away from schedule, fly away from responsibility, fly away from convictions. And yet, when we do finally have that chance to get away from it, we miss something. I won't tell you why. Listen carefully now. Here's the most important statement of the sermon. Security is caused by being tied to strength. Let me say it again. Security is caused by being tied to strength. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I'm builded on the rock. Now, we get our security from being tied to strength. Let's face it, we're all stuck down here on this little ball going around and around in space. We don't understand what's going on. I don't care how many degrees you have. You don't understand all about it. None of us does. We all have our doubts and our fears. And if we have security, we've got to tie ourselves to strength. Now, I want you to notice some strength. Hear me carefully now. Strength number one. The place I'm supposed to be. A place I'm supposed to be. Tie yourself to it. Tie yourself to a certain place you've got to go. Work in the morning. Kitchen in the morning. Tie yourself to it. Now, the people that are unhappy, well, the most unhappy folks are those that are not tied to anything in the way of a place, responsibility. And the second most unhappy folks are those who are tied, who think it's bad. And the happiest folks are the folks who are tied down to a place they're supposed to be and realize their security by building the strength of being at the same place at the same time. An anchor. A place. Get up in the morning. What will I do? Where will I go? That will cause insecurity. But there's a certain security by getting up in the morning and knowing in a certain office or in a certain shop or in a certain factory or in a certain building I am supposed to go. Now, you don't understand that, but that's strength. That's being tied to strength. And security is being tied to strength. Statement number two in my prayer, a time I'm supposed to be there. Tie yourself to a schedule. Oh, I'm so tired. Listen, you don't understand how much security that little alarm clock gives you. You don't. You just don't. You want to grab that little thing and throw it against the wall and say, dirty bric-a-brac, a pack of brought you, slatter it, get out of my life. But you get that little thing out of your life and you'll lose one of the greatest securities you have in this world. Listen, tie yourself to a place where you're supposed to be, and then tie yourself to a time you're supposed to be there. You folks who have been here for several years, remember one time I was going to preach in South America. Buenos Aires or Rio de Janeiro or Waxahachie, somewhere in South America. So I, one of the few times I ever leave on a Sunday morning, I was going to fly to New York City, go to church there on Sunday night, and then catch a plane late Sunday night and fly to South America and preach there. So I left here on a Sunday morning. It was as beautiful as could be. It was clear. By the time I got to O'Hare Field, it was snowing. The flights were grounded. Finally, on Sunday afternoon, I got out and flew to New York City. And then we couldn't land in New York City. So there, church time, round and round up there. And my flight time to South America is getting pretty close, about 10:30, and we got to hurry. And sure enough, about 10:25, we hit the ground. But I had to change, you know, New York City, Kennedy has a bunch of terminals, and you have to go from one to the other. Had to go from one terminal to another, and I had to change. And so I huffed and a puff, and I had to go out and catch a little commuter bus, and ran around a little circle there, and took me over to the other terminal, and I ran in, and there it went, my flight. I waved at it. So I rushed in and I said, let me have my luggage. They said, your luggage got on the flight. So my luggage went to South America. And I was in New York City. I said, when's the next flight come back? It'll bring my luggage back. They said, tomorrow night. I said, hot dog. I've got a whole day in New York City. What can a guy do? Boy, tomorrow, I'm going to live it up. I haven't got to wake up any certain time. I haven't got to go anywhere. So I slept late. Late the next morning. Tried to. Made myself. Got up, picked up the newspaper. Let's see what's going on in town. And the Mets were playing the Braves. Atlanta Braves were in town playing the Mets. Hot dog, I'll go to the ball game. got me a cab, went out to the ball game, walked up, put my money down for a ticket, and the fella said, "You get in free today." Folks, this has been 8-9 years ago. And I said, "Why?" He said, "This is Senior Citizens Day." And I said, "Buddy, do me a favor." He said, "What?" I said, "Drop dead when you have time." I couldn't enjoy that game. I went right back to my taxi cab. The guy stood out there waiting on a cab. I got in the cab, went back to the room, and sat there and moped all the rest of the day. You know why? I had no time to be anywhere. I was footloose and fancy free, and nobody in the world is more miserable than, like David said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I'd like to fly away." And Jeremiah said, "I'd like to go to some mountain retreat somewhere, or someplace alone in the mountains, to a little cabin where the artists come and draw their paintings and no one says anything." And John Mark said, "I'd like to go back home." And Jonah said, "I want to leave the responsibility of preaching down in Nineveh. I want to go down to vacation in Tarshish. I'll go down to Joppa and catch a ship." And they weren't happy, and nobody is. Thank God today. Thank God for a place I'm supposed to be. And thank God for a time I'm supposed to be there. And then a job I'm supposed to do. Thank God for work. Thank God for a job to do. Brother Day, I can't do my job. Take me out and dig a hole out there in our memorial lane and just put me in a box and dig a hole and drop me in there. I just don't want to live if I can't do the thing that God has called me to do and do my job. Why? Thank God for a place I'm supposed to be, and thank God for a time I'm supposed to be there. Listen, tie yourself to a place and obligate yourself to be there. And tie yourself to a time and obligate yourself to be there. And tie yourself to a work and obligate yourself to be there. That's tying yourself to strength. Build a strong place, strong time, a strong work, and obligate yourself to be tied to it. And then someone I'm supposed to help. Someone I'm supposed to help. Tie yourself to helping people. Make your hitching post a certain place you're supposed to be. And strengthen that hitching post by a certain time you're supposed to be there. And strengthen that hitching post by a job you're supposed to do. And strengthen that hitching post by somebody you're supposed to help. That's the way you stay happy. That's the way you stay secure. That lady spoke a while ago. She needs me this morning. She needs help. I'll be honest with you. I sometimes walk after morning service or evening service. I walk into my office, and I see that line stretching all the way from here to Kentland, Indiana. Give or take a few people. And I look up there and I wonder, how in the world can I, my mind, take all the questions and problems that are going to come through my mind in the next 44 minutes or so? And I want to look at that line and twitch my nose and make it go away. Another day, I walked over there after Sunday morning service. It's on Father's Day, I think. I thought, "Oh, brother, here it is again. 5 people in that line." And I thought, "What's wrong? They mad at me? Don't they love me anymore? I'm not needed." But that night the line was long as usual, and I said, "Bless God for the line. Boy, there's security about somebody needs you." I'm saying, oh, if I could just throw the alarm clock away, you'd lose your security if you didn't have a certain place to be, and a certain time to be there, and a certain responsibility. Human beings are made to carry a responsibility. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He's not saying my yoke is not a heavy one to bear. He's saying that my yoke is one of the great secrets of joy and happiness in life. Tie yourself to the strength of a place you've got to be, and a time you've got to be there, and a job you've got to do, and somebody you've got to help, and then a cause in which I'm lost. a cause which I'm lost. You old-timers recall when I came back from a trip one week and I told you a little story that I've used in a sermon I have. I used this story. I was on the airplane flying to, I think it was to Greenville, High Point. Had a stopover, just the plane stopped and refueled. But I stayed on the same plane going on from, in Lexington, Kentucky, the home of the University of Kentucky. That's right, isn't it? Lexington. And I was sitting on the airplane in the aisle seat, left of the aisle facing the front. The plane's going this way, and I was sitting here next to the aisle. Looked across the aisle, and I saw a face that looked familiar. And I said, "Sir, could I ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." Is it with a southern drawl? "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir." I said, "Aren't you Adolph Rupp, the coach of the University of Kentucky basketball team, the man whose teams have won more basketball games than any college coach in the history of college basketball? Greatest coach in America, I guess, at that time, at least in a number of games won." I said, "Aren't you Adolph Rupp?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm Mr. Rupp." I said, "Boy, I've heard about you. I'm glad to meet you. My name is Jack Howells." He said, "You pastor that big church outside Chicago, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, I do." We talked to each other for a while. For an hour, we chatted across the aisle. We got to Lexington. He got off the plane because he lived there. And I got off and walked around a while, went to the washroom. I got in the washroom, was washing my hands there, and the lavatory beside me was Mr. Rupp. And I said, "Hey, Mr. Rupp, I'm the fellow's beside across the aisle from the airplane. Talk to you." I said, "Hey," I said, "I understand pretty soon you've got to retire because of mandatory retirement." A tear invaded his eye. And I said, he said, "Yes, sir, soon." And I said, "Mr. Rupp, what do you plan to do after you retire?" The tear escaped his eye. And he said, "Sir, I guess I'll just die." A few weeks later, he retired. And not long after that, I picked up the Chicago Tribune sport page and a big headline said, "Adolph Rupp is dead." You know why he died? He lost the place he was supposed to be. He lost the time he was supposed to be there. He lost the cause in which he was lost. He was gone. The thing that made him get up in the morning, and the thing that made him put on his shoes and his clothes, and the thing that made him shave, and the thing that made him breathe and eat and sleep, for which he'd live, was gone. I don't care who you are. Tie yourself to a cause. Lose yourself in a cause. Strength. Tie yourself to strength. The strength of a place you're supposed to be. Tie yourself to the strength of a time you're supposed to be there. Tie yourself to the strength of a job you're supposed to do. Tie yourself to the strength of a person you're supposed to help. Tie yourself to the strength of a cause in which you're lost. Sure, I'd like to fly away sometime. But flying away is highly overrated. And then, I want you to hear me for just a few minutes very carefully here. In my prayer, the next to last statement is, "Thank you for standards by which I live." I want you to follow me carefully here. If you have standards, when you change those standards, you lose some security. You don't know that. And if you're changing them now, you won't believe that. Let me illustrate. The other day, I was driving down East Grand Street in Marshall, Texas, with John Byler. And Marshall is a town where Grange Hall Baptist Church is located, the first full-time church that I pastored. We lived there 3 years and a half. Well, in that church, I was there that long pastoring that church 3 years and a half. We lived there longer in Marshall because I went to college there. But I was driving, and I looked up, and I saw a sign, Neely's Barbecue. N-E-E-L-Y, apostrophe S, Neely's Barbecue. Well, Neely's Barbecue was out there on East Houston when we were there. And I said, "John, you see Neely's Barbecue?" He said, yes. I said, that's the last place we ever ate out on a Sunday. Many, many years ago. On a Sunday night, we were sitting out there in the car eating Neely's barbecue after church, just like a Bible says you're supposed to. The Revised Version says McDonald's or Burger King. But I never forget it. A couple from our church drove up on the side, over here on this side, driver's side, and I rolled the window down. I said, hey, hi! And the lady was sitting next to the window and across me. She said, Brother Hiles, you don't eat out on Sunday, do you? Well, not anymore. Boy, I ate that barbecue, but it didn't taste very good. And she proceeded to give us a lecture. She said, Brother House, how do you expect these folks to come to church on Sunday night if they're fixing your barbecue? Personally, it's good barbecue. I'd rather for them to fix the barbecue than come to church. But she said, Brother Hiles, I'm shocked that you would eat out on Sunday. Now, strange thing about it, Doc. I wouldn't eat out on Sunday if God wrote it in the sky that it's okay. You know why? I can't explain this, but there's a certain security I have by that standard. I live by it. And now, I stopped this morning at White Hen Pantry and bought a paper, two papers. Didn't bother me a bit. Bible doesn't say it's wrong for a folk keep White Hen Pantry folks out of church on Sunday. Just says restaurants. Now, the truth is, I wouldn't mind buying a barbecue sandwich at White Hen Pantry. Now, I know that it's not wrong to eat out on Sunday. I know that. But that's the standard by which I've lived. And brother, you don't understand this, but whether the standard is silly or frivolous or not, if it's a standard by which you've lived for a lifetime, there's a certain security about living by schedule, by habit, and the strength of a standard is unbelievably secure. That's one reason I don't change my standards. Because I want the security and the strength. Listen, the things that I'm against, I've fought for them. I mean, I've been criticized for some things which I stand, and I've walked guard around them all these years, and I'm not going to change them. If for no other reason, because of the strength of the security I get by attaching myself. Look, hear me carefully. It is important that you attach yourself to a hitching post that doesn't move. See, there's a difference in docking a boat and dropping anchor. Now, I want to attach myself to a schedule. Doesn't move. Time doesn't move. Place doesn't move. Job doesn't move. Help people doesn't move. A cause doesn't move. And standards, why? If I can attach myself, listen, every time I change a standard, I'm moving a post to which I'm tied. And I lose some of my security. Lastly, a truth to which I would die. I need to believe in the virgin birth. I need to believe in it. Because it's a truth which I would die. I need to believe that this is the Word of God. It's a truth which I would die. And if I'm going to feel secure, I need to have myself tied to strength. Strong schedule, strong conviction, strong truth. I need to tie myself to. I'll be honest with you. I think it lends to security. Now, we've lived in the same house for 26 years nearly. I think it gives Becky and Linda security. Come to the same house. See that man right there? That woman right there? They were here first. Or any of the rest of these fellows on the platform are here. They were here first. Now, every time this church has had another parsonage come open, they've had a chance to get it. For example, when Brother Vineyard left, Brother Beebe left, John and Lane could have gotten Brother Beebe's house. Church owned it. They had next choice to it, next right to it. They didn't take it. They stayed in that little crummy place they live in now. But they didn't take it. Now, I know why they didn't take it. They didn't take it because it was home. It was home. When the house that Brother Young lives in came open, I personally think it's a nicer house than John Lane's house. That little matchbox they live in just can't compare to that beautiful home, Ray Young. But wait a minute now. They had a chance at it. They didn't take it. I know why. Their security in tying to something strong. I said a while ago, I'll preach to you tonight and help you this morning. It could change your life if you would adopt my prayer and pray in the morning, Lord, I thank Thee. There's a place I'm supposed to be. A time I'm supposed to be there. A job I'm supposed to do. A person I'm supposed to help. A cause in which I'm lost. Standards by which I live. And truth for which I die. Our Heavenly Father,